The Old Testament is said to be God's picture book of New Testament truth. I wish to show this today, and I wish to use one of the pictures of the Old Testament to convey the truth of salvation from the judgment of God, and also the basis for the assurance of that salvation. If you have your Bible, I would ask that you turn to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 to begin with, and we see the setting for this picture. We read, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in." Now Jericho is a picture, dear friend, of the world which has come under the condemnation of God. Its name means fragrance, and indeed this is what the created world was as it came as the handiwork of the Creator. But sin came in and marred the creation. And the results of sin, violence and corruption, has shut up the world to judgment. In fact, we read in the New Testament that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised Christ from the dead. Now Jericho itself was marked for destruction. But God's grace to those who were in Jericho was clearly manifested, and he made a way of escape from the judgment for those who heard his word and believed. The same is true today. The Lord is truly long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. In our story of this accurate history of Joshua unfolded to us in this writing, is intended to convey to us, dear friend, God's salvation for sinful men, who, like the harlot Rahab, believed, took shelter in his profession, and was saved. Let us notice the events, if you will, of chapter 2. And again I say, please follow in your Bible if possible. And remember, we seek simply in these few moments with the book to unfold the word of God. This alone is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now then, in the second chapter of Joshua, verse 1, we read, "Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho." I believe here we have an indication, an implication at least, of how God seeks to speak to men secretly. He seeks to get into our hearts and consciences the message that will convey to us our need and to win us to himself. Perhaps you have a wonderful story to relate of how he spoke to you. If not, I trust today there is someone listening who will be persuaded by the word of God and the still small voice of the word of God coming into your ear gate, reaching the heart gate, and bringing you the blessing that God desires you to have. He sends the spies even to Jericho, that place that we said speaks of the world and its fragrance, and yet under the curse of God, and shut up to judgment because of sin. And where does he go? He goes to the harlot's house named Rahab and lodge there. All this indicates for us the grace of God, and the very fact that Christ Jesus, when he came into the world, he came to save sinners. He said himself when he was here, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Rahab means enlargement. It was God's purpose that she should be brought into a large place. It is God's desire, dear friend, that you should be delivered from the bondage of sin and brought into the liberty of the children of God, such as she eventually was. Now you notice also in verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Immediately upon the working of God, you will always find the opposition of Satan. In the king of Jericho, we have a type of Satan himself, who is the god of this present age. This age of the world, this age that wants to get on without God, the age that shuts God out from its heart, from its activities, from its very presence. Dear friend, are you still under the thraldom of the one who is the prince and the power of the air? Be assured that whenever the word of God is going out, he will seek to do his utmost to turn away your attention. He would seek to snatch away the seed that is sown. And so we see here the king of Jericho immediately seeking to oppose what God would do in delivering souls from Jericho. Now the woman, however, takes the men and hides them. And we do not condone the lie that she told, and Scripture is very clear in presenting the facts. But in her taking the spies and hiding them, we see evidences of the faith that she had in what she had heard concerning Jehovah, the God of Israel. She knew, as we shall notice, that God was real and that she had the God of Israel to deal with. He was coming upon them, as it were, in judgment. And this caused her heart to tremble. And she showed her faith in the God of Israel by taking the spies and hiding them. And this explains what we read in the book of James, that Rahab was justified before men by her works. But you notice, after the men are hidden, and the king goes his way across Jordan, and they shut the gate, she comes up to the roof to meet with them. And I want you to notice what in verse 9 indicates her faith. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Her faith, dear friends, was based upon the assurance of what she had heard. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. It's a grand thing in this world of uncertainty to be able to say, I know. I know in regards to my eternal salvation that I am saved by grace. Do you know this? The Apostle Paul could say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The blind man could say, I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. Do you know him whom to know is life eternal? Can you say with the Apostle John that you know that you have eternal life because you have believed on the name of the Son of God? The Bible gives us this certainty. And she knew that the Lord had spoken and would accomplish what he said he would. In verse 10, she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. How did she know? She heard. What did she hear? She heard the word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very reading of this passage, dear friend, could bring faith to your heart. You accept it as God's word. Whatever he said is true. God cannot lie. What a grand thing it is when what you hear from God's word turns you to believe. She did. Faith cometh by hearing, I repeat. And the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Isaiah exhorts us to hear, and your soul shall live. She heard, and she allowed what she heard to draw her to a conclusion that she knew the Lord had given them the land. In verse 11, she makes a confession. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Let me ask, how many times have you heard the gospel of the grace of God? How many times have you heard that there's judgment to come, there's an eternity ahead of you? How many times have you heard that Christ died for you, he loves you, and that if you put your trust in him, which you must do in order to be saved, you will be saved? How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Have you accepted that? Have you said, Lord, I have sinned? Have you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. We read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? It is natural of man not to fear God. Romans 3 says, the fear of God is not before their eyes. Men choose to disbelieve in God. They set aside the conscience that is within them. They set aside the testimony in creation. They reject the word of the ever-living God. They're without excuse. There's no fear of God before their eyes. But here you'll notice the effect upon the word upon them of the word of God was that as soon as they had heard, their hearts did melt. And I trust today that everyone who hears will have their hearts melted in order to be blessed by God. In melting of the heart, there's the thought of repentance and confession to God. And she says there did not remain any courage in man because of what they heard. Why? Now notice, it's in connection with the Jehovah himself. For Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Do you believe that? Well, you're believing it or not believing it does not change the fact. God himself is over all. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and it is to him that you have to give account. It is with him that you have to do. He is Lord of all. Blessed indeed if you've come to see that you need him and to be on his side. She did. And you notice she said, I pray, therefore, unto you. You know there's a prayer that God is waiting for you to make, which he will hear and answer. What is it, do you say? It's the prayer that acknowledges your need and which addresses that need to him in confidence and in faith that he will meet it. The publican's prayer in the temple, you recall, in contrast to the Pharisees, who thanked God that he wasn't like other men, and he was telling God all that he did. He was self-righteous. The publican, standing afar off, did not so much as lift up his eyes, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Or God, be propitiated to me, the sinner. He realized that as a sinner he needed propitiation. That is, he needed a sacrifice that would satisfy a holy God about his sin. Me, the sinner. Have you ever prayed that? Listen, I repeat it. I feel there's someone listening today that wants to be delivered from his sins, that wants the salvation of God. You want to know what you want to pray to God? Listen, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And let me tell you that he will be merciful to you because his Son has paid the ransom for your soul. His Son has made atonement, a propitiation he is, through the shedding of his blood for your sin. It has satisfied him. And when you come to him in repentance and in faith, he will hear you. How do I know? The Lord Jesus said of that publican, that man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, referring to the Pharisee. Rahab here is praying. And she prays, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you a kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. You know, one of the signs of true faith is that there's a concern for others. She's anxious now about her father's house. Many indeed are the times we hear of people who confess Christ who say, well, I want to go and tell my brother. I want to go tell my mother, my father, my wife. Oh, friend, the blessing that you receive from God you want others to have, you know it. And here she lays hold, shall we say, in her faith, in the energy of her faith for her family. It reminds us of what we read of the promise to the Philippian jailer by Paul and Silas. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Remember the answer? They answered him and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. She asked specifically that the father and mother would be saved alive with her brethren, her sisters, and all that they have, and their lives delivered from death. What answer did she get? The men said, "Our life be yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." She had their word. And you notice it was a word of positive definiteness. It was not a maybe. And friend, the gospel of the grace of God is not a maybe gospel. It shall be. Verse 14. It shall be. I repeat, what God declares is not a maybe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How grand to tell you that you can take God at his word, and he will fulfill his promise. In fact, the moment that you believe on him, putting your trust in him in repentance of your sin, you will receive his gift, everlasting life. Now then, she lets them down by a cord through the window, for her house was on the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And then she tells them to go to the mountains, go back to their camp. And there in the camp, what does she have? She knows that she has a living witness to the promise that was made to her. Let me just for a moment remind you of what God has done. God has given us, dear friend, a living witness in the glory to the promise of salvation and deliverance from judgment to come. The Savior said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." These spies were safe back into the camp. The 3 days' journey that they took speaks of the resurrection number. And on the third day, Christ arose from the dead, having completed redemption. And he is now alive forevermore. And the very fact that he lives is assurance that we shall live. And he is our deliverer from the coming wrath. And then you notice, they had told her that she should put something in the window as a token. And in the window she was to bind a scarlet thread, which she let them down by. And then those who would be in the house that had the scarlet thread in the window, would be safe from the judgment that was to fall. As soon as she put that in that window, dear friends, she was nailing, as it were, the assurance to her home. And as soon as you will claim the blood of Christ is shed for you, you can rest assured that judgment will not touch you, nor those who put their trust in that same shed blood. How do I know that the scarlet thread speaks of the Savior's sacrificial blood? Well, the scarlet color itself is obtained from the cochineal worm. It's crushed, and the dye is obtained. In Psalm 22, in the Messianic Psalm where our Savior's sufferings are portrayed as a sin offering, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is there he also says, I am a worm and no man. It speaks to us of the awful death into which he willingly descended and placed himself to be judged by a holy God, to be crushed in judgment. And the pouring out of his life's blood is that which means life and salvation for you. And the word that she had received was, whosoever shall go out of the doors of that house, his blood shall be on his head. But whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And then according unto your word, so be it, she said. She sent them away, they departed, she bound the scarlet line in the window. She made a point of putting it there. This is the act of faith. You believe that the blood of Christ was shed, do you not? But have you ever bound it in the window? What do you mean? I simply mean, have you ever by faith appropriated that blood to you? Have you ever found shelter on it and said, Jesus' blood was shed for me? That's what she did. My house, my salvation depends upon it. I believe the word of the spies. Do you believe the word of God? Will you not trust the work of Christ? Find shelter under his shed blood, dear friend, and be saved from the judgment to come. In the end of chapter 6, we read, "Let the time come when after the children of Israel marched around the city." And you know the story. "On the seventh day they marched 7 times, and the walls fell down flat, that Rahab's house stood. Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." There's the picture. I trust the Spirit of God will make the application clear to you, and that you by faith, as Rahab, will believe the word, that you will come in simple faith to him and confess your need, that you will pray the sinner's prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," that you will receive the certainty of the word of the Lord himself as to your salvation, that you will bind the scarlet thread in your window and be saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May God bless this message to every listener today for your good and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.